Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the ALS Mobilization Working Party call taking place on Wednesday, 27th of May 2020 at 1300 UTC. On our call today, we have Alan Greenberg, Cheryl Langdonor, Barack Otiano, Eduardo Diaz, Irio Lansipuro, Judith Hellerstein, David Mackey, Amrita Chuturi, Justin Chu and Nadira El Arash. We have received apologies from Raymond Mamata, Maureen Hilliard, and from Dev Anantilak Singh. And my apologies that I forgot to record Tara Kidden's name as she's present on our call. From staff side, we have Heidi Ulrich, Evin Erdoğdu, Herb Wei, and myself, Isim Nazar, present on today's call. And I'll be doing call management also. And just a kind reminder before we start to please record your name before speaking for the transcription purposes, please. And I see that Roberto Gaetano has now joined us as well. And now we'll leave the floor back to you, Alan. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. And the agenda has been posted. I don't believe there's anything substantive change from previous ones. And I'll note I have asked staff to put on a two-minute timer for interventions, and it will be used throughout the meeting. May we have the Google Doc up, please, with the accreditation process.
Alan, are you able to see the Google Doc?
Yes, I am. Sorry, I was just trying to get prepared. Just a note to staff, if we could scroll down to the little bit below this, please. Keep going until we get a note to staff. That's it. And just noting that the ALS tracking page has a lot of applications on it, which are very old, some of them including the full unredacted document. Now, we don't have a formal policy for how to get rid of these that are still there. I'm not sure why some of them are still there. Some of them go back many years. But if I could ask staff to start working on them, and I'm sure I and Maureen can act as consultants on how to get rid of them, but we do need to clean this up. And I will assume Heidi and or Evan will take note of this. Hearing silence from both of them, I assume that means yes.
Yes, Alan.
Thank you.
Hi.
Can we go scroll on to item number two then? There were no other there were no other substantive changes in item number one, and I have not heard any comments recently, so I'm going to assume that is acceptable. Number two is the due diligence issue, and there's a number of things here. The first one I have is there was a comment last time about the line verifying general funding sources, that it's not clear that it's our responsibility to verify all of their funding sources, and I've replaced that with, if unclear in the application, confirm that no ICANN funding is expected and any funding sources do not imply control by industry or it should be or government, and government seems to be missing there. Can we have a discussion on, is this a reasonable replacement? Does this transfer the intent of what the original one is without the wording that some consider offensive? Anyone have any comments? The absence of comments, I'll assume this is acceptable. David, please go ahead.
Hi, David Mackey. Sorry, I'm just working through my mute button. Hi, David Mackey for the record. A question, Alan. I'm not disagreeing. How is it possible for us to determine funding sources? I don't know if that, like, I mean, it's certainly a very important question. I'm just wondering what abilities we have to determine funding sources.
I don't know if we do at all. And
yeah.
The item has been there since the beginning. I don't know how staff has been acting on it. Perhaps we could hear from Heidi or Evan as to how either the current implementation is or was it ignored. When I asked, are all of these being done, the answer was yes, all of these were being done. So I'm not quite sure to what extent they are. Maybe we'll let Evan has her hand up, so please proceed.
Thanks, Alan. Evan speaking. Yeah, actually, on both the application as well as the due diligence, there's a question about funding. Mainly, the main, I think, concern from the ICANN and at-large perspective is that the potential ALS is not dependent upon ICANN for funding. And so on the due diligence, they basically have to answer no to that question. And then I think we have to check that they are not overly reliant upon certain entities such as government, but it's not a, it wouldn't necessarily be a no if they were, but they just have to show, I guess, how their influence or where their funding comes from. Most of them have funding coming from membership dues, kind of like grassroots volunteer support. But it is a question, and if it's not answered on the application, then I do ask them for the due diligence to explain where the general funding comes from. And many of them are nonprofits, of course, so they don't have an income, but they are reliant upon their volunteers.
Yeah, thank you, Evan. But when do you actually ask them, do you have funding from government, or are we using the word saying you are not controlled by government?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. It's on the application. I could look it up if you'd like. As like an
no, no, I'm aware that there is questions about reliance. You know, who are you controlled by? But so if we're not looking for, if we don't specifically say, are you funded by government or funded by industry, but rather controlled, then we should remove this question. If that, you know, if we don't care that they get money from them, as long as they have a convincing argument why those entities do not control them, then I think we need to leave it at that. Thoughts from anyone else? I mean, funding does not necessarily mean in control, although obviously in many cases there is implicit control because their funding is contingent on something.
Hi, Alan. If I can just finish the what I started then. Thanks, Evan, and thanks, Alan. That makes sense. Maybe it certainly makes sense to ask for a statement of where their funding is or whether or not they're controlled by industry or government. As to the verification of it, maybe we don't have to worry about the verification we own at the time of the application, but if they've said one thing on their application and it turns out later that that's not true, well, that could be a violation of the intent of their the integrity of the application they put in, and maybe we should have wording as such as opposed to the verification of it. Thanks, Alan. That's my input. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We have a stream of people who have their hands up. Amitra, please.
Thank you, Alan. I agree with what David mentioned because asking about funding, there could be a capture of any organization by private or by government. Simultaneously getting funding for an NGO or a civil society by a government or private is a given thing because else they would not be able to, do projects or work because membership money may be quite less for them or some may not be able to even taking membership. Also, are we or ICANN staff in a position to actually vet whether there is a capture by any particular stakeholder on the ALS, I doubt it. So perhaps we need to look at rephrasing the question.
Sarah?
Hi, this is Sarah for the record. I agree with Amita's comment about funding from the government. I've seen cases where the Ministry of ICT, for example, will give an ALS funding for an event like a national IGF. So does this count as funding from the government as well? Thank you.
Okay, so what is the consensus that we are already asking who are you controlled by? I don't think we're in a position to verify funding, and I don't think we can presume that because there is some funding from government that they are controlled by them or industry. ICANN, for instance, lots of organizations receive donations from industry but are not necessarily controlled by them. I see there's a whole bunch of things in the chat which I'm not reading at this point. Does anyone want to speak and add something? Sarah, I see your hand is still up.
One hand, sorry.
Eduardo, please summarize for us and tell us where we are.
I just was going to say, just leave there confirmed that no ICANN funding is expected and get rid of the rest of the thing there, because that's really what we want to say, right?
Okay. Everyone agree? And Cheryl says asking is okay. Okay, so we'll get rid of the rest of the sentence. We're asking about ICANN funding, ensure no ICANN funding, but that's already on the application, so that's not a verify. So it sounds like it's not part of the actions of due diligence. It may be a question on the due diligence that we have to tick off, but it's not something that we actually have to go out and get more information on, unless, of course, it's not filled out on the application. There's an implicit statement that anything which is blank on the application, staff have to follow up on. All right, and next one. There is one that says require the applicant to demonstrate the identity of individual constituents. That is not a new statement. That's been there. And I don't know exactly what that means. And I'll note that during the first part of this working party's work, we decided that we would be asking applicants for a measure of the size of their organization in terms of number of people. And we would also optionally ask them to give us something about the demographics. That is, are they students? Are they technologists? Are they, who are they? What are they? But in many cases, an organization may not even know what the people are in real life, and therefore it's an optional request. So given that background, what is the meaning and need for this last statement? It sounds like it is somewhat redundant, and I'm not sure to what extent we actually do this right now, and Evan may have some thoughts on that as well. I see Eduardo's hand is up. I don't know if it's a new one or old one.
New one.
Please go ahead then.
I recommend to get rid of that bullet altogether. Thank you.
Thank you. Evan, any comments on is this really done and what does it mean?
Thanks, Alan. Evan speaking. So just verifying the identity of the leadership or of people noted on the application? Was that the question?
It says requiring the applicants to demonstrate the identity of their individual constituents.
Yeah, I think that could mean both the membership and the leadership. From what I do, whoever they list on their application, I just check like on a public website, let's say that they've also listed that corresponds, or maybe they're on LinkedIn, or maybe, just connecting the organization to the people they listed, and I may contact them if they have an email address and just get a response. So it's just more like a check that those people are actually affiliated, but I don't ask them to like send a list of their membership or something like
that. Okay, so you use it in relation to the leadership or those who are making the application, not the full membership?
Correct, because there have been a couple cases where there have been a couple kind of like applications that weren't necessarily official structures, or maybe their leadership, there was some confusion. So I think it is kind of a good practice to just confirm that the people are who they say they are, basically.
Okay, so
but that's not
constituents. What you're saying is what we are doing now in terms of this is not trying to identify their individual constituents, but verifying that the people named in the application are who they say they are and have cognizance, are aware of the application.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's
fine. Then we will reword this to say that instead of what it says right now. Next, where are we? All right. Then we had the sentence that was some debate on, but I think we ended up okay with it. In parallel with the start of due diligence, the application will be forwarded to RALO leadership, defined as chairs, vice chairs, secretariats, and that implies if any, for any initial comments, which should be submitted no more than 7 calendar days. This is not the review by the RALO. This is an opportunity for any RALO leadership, if they have any insight, to provide it before the due diligence form and process is completed. And I think everyone agreed on that. We note that anything discovered during due diligence will be included in the document. And lastly, we have a time period. How long should we allow for due diligence? I don't know how much time we allow today in the current process. So I don't know if that's changing or not, but what's the right number to put in for actually doing the due diligence? Evan, do you have any insight for us?
Thanks, Alan. Evan speaking. Yes. Actually, I had put in some comments on the Google Doc. I don't think they're there now. But currently, it is 90 days, and I noted on the last call that we had, it was noted that we could factor in the various responses from either the applicants or GSE or external, like ISOC headquarters, into that timeline. And I think if we did that, then it could stay at 90 days, but
okay.
It needs to somehow factor in that they're the response time.
Okay, Alp did put that into the chat last time. My comment to that, however, is my understanding is we have a 90-day, a three-month period for the time from which the application is submitted until the time the ALAC decides they're admitted or not, or accredited or not. I thought that was the 90-day number. Here we are asking how much time is needed before you have the due diligence completed to send to the RALO. Is that 90 days right now?
I see.
That means the overall process probably takes 6 months.
No, I see. Okay, so that's less.
Okay, come back, but note, the time here is the time for us to do the due diligence from the start, from the time we receive the application until the time due diligence is completed. It excludes any time waiting for the applicant to respond to new questions. So the application is put on hold and the clock stops moving while we're waiting for them to answer questions. It does not stop moving when we're waiting for GSE or anyone else to do their work. So that's the time we're looking for. And I'm hoping it's something well under 90 days. Otherwise, we have a real problem. But I don't. You should certainly have records of typically how long does it take from the time the application is submitted until the time you send it off to the RALOs. So you should have plenty of information on recent applications for what that timing is.
Okay, I'll put it into the.
Of course, of course, your logs will not have stopped the clock, because real time is still passing. So, what you have should be a very much an upper limit. Okay. Has there been anything in the chat that I need to look at?
Yes. Helen, can I comment?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ali Al-Mishal. Sorry for Suful for coming late, but maybe I miss a part or no. Now, I've noticed from your comment that you said the time required, it will stop once it goes to the applicant. I think we need to put a time as well for the applicant to respond, because we cannot keep it open for them until they decide when they want to respond to the applications, if there are some more info required part of the due diligence. So,
thank you, Ali, and you're right, and I think we're covering that later on.
Oh, okay, thanks.
All right, then let's assume this is accepted, and we will fill that number in when it comes in. Number three, for final approval, upon completion of the due diligence, the application revised if applicable, and the due diligence completed by staff will be forwarded to the leadership of the RALO of the geographic region in which the applicant organization resides. For purposes of this process, the RALO leadership is defined as the RALO chair, any vice chairs, and any secretariat. The RALO leadership may share the applicant's application documents with the region's ALAC members, leadership council as appropriate, so that could include the URALO board, it could include the LAC RALO elders committee. It's not a defined term. Thus the as appropriate, as well as others deemed to be part of the extended regional leadership. There had been an objection to referring to past leaders or past regional leaders or past ALAC members, and we're making it a more general statement that if the regional leadership believes that they need the advice of specific other people, that is within their mandate to include it. The extended regional leadership composition must be documented, so they have to make it clear who they consult with. The documents may be sent via email or made available on a restricted access wiki. That's part number one. Part number two, at the regional leadership's option, the documents or redacted versions thereof, and we'll talk about that in a moment, may be posted on a restricted access wiki available only to primary representatives of the RALOs, of the RALO ALSs. Whatever process is to be followed must be documented and used consistently. So that says the ALSs, the existing ALSs, may be consulted through their primary reps, but that's an option of the region. Some regions may do it, some regions may not. In all cases, none of those provided with access to the documents may further distribute them in whole or in part, and that has to do with privacy. Implementation note, the extent to which the documents need to be redacted before distribution to the ALS needs to be explored, and that's during implementation of this. Note that often the names of the prospective ALS leaders and proponents is often an important consideration. So I think the intent of this, based on previous discussions, is that we not redact the names, which are definitely personal information, because the names often tell something to the people in the region about this organization. Therefore, it does contain personal information, and access and distribution must be restricted. And I see we have several hands up. Cheryl, please go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. All of the controls in B and as it goes on and the must-nots, I'm sorry, because it's all about allowing a certain degree of self-determination within the regional behaviours, but even when those regional behaviours exist, giving some guardrails so that they don't risk themselves for issues of various types of liabilities, etc. I have a problem with the may share in A. I don't think it should be interpreted that this is an expectation, rather that it is a, if the RALO leadership are already doing it, or if it is their practice, or if blah, blah, blah. So I just don't want it read, in my view, that this is an expectation. I think it should be carefully written to say, if indeed this is the practice, then the following applies. So the may share, to me, still is giving a encouragement or permission. And, of course, as we know, in some regions, this is not the practice and very much never will be. So that's my only, you know, something other than may should be in there from my perspective. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, you're talking about A. I don't know any regions that don't...
I'm only talking about A. As I said, to begin with, I'm happy with all of the other delimiting stuff. It is the word may, as in permission and encouragement.
Okay, thank you.
I block off that every time.
Okay. I don't think we can restrict it to what has been done in the past, because railroads are allowed to change their procedures. But you are saying...
I'm not arguing that. I'm saying don't make it an expectation that that is what should be happening.
Understand.
It's like must and shall. I have a problem with that may.
Can you suggest another word?
Not at this unearthly hour of the night. If it was the normal meeting time, probably.
Okay. It ends with saying this must be documented. If we say the decision on who to share it with must be a formal decision of the RALO leadership and be documented as such, does that do it for
all right.
you?
Now, look, no, because that's all at the end, and most people, you know, read the first bit and not the end anyway. So it's the upfront and the may part. So it should be something along the lines of, in the case where the regional processes are that these things happen, then the following apply.
Okay.
But, Yeah,
I wasn't saying where the sentence would go, but the sentence I gave you, cover yourself. That is, it has to be a formal decision of the RALO leadership and documented as such.
I wasn't suggesting you'd have to shuffle it, but if shuffling it does the job and we can't find something in a thesaurus that changes the intent from permission, sure.
We'll cover it next time if you don't like it. Judith, please go ahead.
Hi, it's Judith Alstein for the record. I didn't understand. Are we choosing A or B?
We are not choosing. A will always happen. B may happen.
So in the case if our RALO decides that we want to share the applications with the ALS reps, that we could do that on either a wiki or a Google Doc. The wiki, Confluence wiki, is very difficult because it's not mobile friendly. So we prefer to have it on a closed, a restricted access Google Doc. But I'm
Judith, we've had this discussion before. We are not going to micromanage it. There are benefits of the wiki. There are some downsides of Google Docs as well. I will remove the word wiki and replace it with a more generic term, but this will not necessarily be something that is under the control of the region. It may well be decided that you use one or the other. There are downsides on both wikis and Google Docs, and we're not going to decide here at that level which to use, and that may evolve over time as other tools become available.
Okay, yeah, that's fine with me. I just didn't want it to be just one mechanism.
Well, it will likely be one mechanism, but I will not specify in this document which mechanism it is, and my mistake for not removing that.
Okay, so then we're going to have both of them here as an option, A and B.
A says, okay, the basic statement says RALO leadership as defined here, the chair, the secretary, the vice chairs. Get it. A says they may share it with a larger consultative group, which may be their board, it may be the ALEC members, it may be some combination like that. It's at their decision, at the decision of RALO leadership, should they make that such a decision and document it. B says they may also share it with the lead reps from the ALSs. One does not preclude the other. Maria.
I guess it's fine. I just would like it. It seems from reading this that A is first and then B is second, whereas they're both at the same time.
I will make it clear that these are not in sequential order necessarily, although they might be.
Okay, thanks.
Uriah, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Ellen. This is Yuri Lansipuro speaking. Yeah, I very much agree with Cheryl that the word may is weak here, because it leaves the chair of the RALO in the absence of any vice chairman, in the absence of the secretariat, actually leaves the whole thing in the hands of the chair alone. Please replace the may with something else, encouraged as appropriate.
There is nothing else. We have no other people other than the RALO leadership who can speak on behalf of the RALO. So whether the RALO leadership decides it on their own in a little cocoon in consultation with their other leaders, friends, or in consultation with the whole RALO at whatever level it wants, we can't control how they make decisions. All we're saying is the option is it's up to the RALO, and the RALO speaks through the chair, and whatever that RALO does must be documented and used consistently. I'm not sure how else we can put it.
Well, actually, when we discussed this previous time, I suggested some subsidiarity here, and that it should be how you define the RALO leadership should not actually be defined here, because each RALO defines that in a different way. In URALO, it means the URALO board, the other way would be to just omit the sentence of how the RALO leadership is defined for this purpose.
Okay. I am defining RALO leadership, capitalized, as the people who are elected, selected to be in those roles. There is then an extended regional leadership, lowercase, which includes the other people who the RALO want to include in their decision process. The latter is what A is talking about. Now, you tell me that for URALO, that includes the URALO board. But the question is, how do we document this so the prospective applicants know exactly who is going to be reviewing their application? That's a something we must do with factoring in privacy legislation. So we must document somewhere who it is that's going to be seeing the application. And what we're saying is for the ALAC, the only way the ALAC can know is through the RALO leadership, the formal appointed RALO leadership and the chair. How the RALO decides that is not our is not something that we can mandate.
Well, sorry to speak.
Please go ahead.
Your RALO board is an elected entity, plus ad hoc, plus in officio members, and I mean this is these are known names documented, so that it's by no means happens that just a group of unknown people would be making decisions.
Can you propose some words if you don't like these? Because I'm really lost at this point. We, the ALAC, have to document who is going to see the application for each region. And I don't know how the ALAC gets that except from the RALO chair, who obviously should be speaking with authority and with the approval of the rest of the powers that be in their RALO. Now, for URALO, it's fine. It's the URALO board. For LACRALO, it may or may not be the elder council. For APRALO, it may include the ALAC members. You know, each of them are likely to be somewhat different.
Okay, Alan. I try to formulate that, but. And send it by email and not
please, because I'm at a loss.
Alan?
Yes, Cheryl.
In as much as I caused some of this consternation, I have put a proposal in chat, and then you don't read the chat, so I'm drawing your attention to it. And then perhaps people can work on that. Not now, but it's something to start.
Thank you. Uria, please look at that. It's right at second to last entry in the chat right now. Is that something that comes close to what you are happy with?
Yeah. It comes. But if I may return to that just in a few minutes, perhaps in the chat. Thank you.
Thank you. Eduardo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. In terms of the last sentence there, what they said, the document be sent via email or available in restricted access wiki, I will eliminate maybe sent by email. Email is not restricted at all. I will leave it only on restricted access wiki.
For access for the ALSs, I don't believe we have an option but to use the wiki or a wiki or something comparable, because that we can access restrict. My personal feeling is email is acceptable in the first case, because these are all going to be people that we believe we have trust in and could even ask for a certification that they will not redistribute. So there's a higher level of trust in the people identified in Section A that I felt comfortable in writing email there, and it may well be the easiest way to do this. If everyone wants to restrict it and say only the restricted access wiki or comparable, then that's fine. I was just giving a little bit more flexibility there.
Well, if I can follow up on that, send via email the link to the restricted access. Do not send it up. That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Okay. Are you objecting to email or just suggesting we may not need it?
I'm objecting email.
I agree with Ed.
I'm objecting send via email if we're sending the document via email. But if you send the link, I don't have a problem. Thank you.
Is the general feeling of this group that we should not allow email to send the documents to the leadership, to the RALO extended leadership? It's not to the ALSs, but to the leadership.
Yeah, it's a weak link. Just the link to the where the document repository is. I agree with Ed absolutely. Sure.
Okay, email is gone unless I hear other people.
Put it on a billboard.
Okay. I would have liked to think that if we're talking about the RALO leadership and the ALAC members or the board, we could trust them not to do that. But apparently if we can't, if anyone feels email should be an option for distributing the documents, please put up your hand and say so. Otherwise, it's gone. If you don't like it there, it's already gone. You don't have to say that. Eduardo, are you finished?
Yes, can you repeat the question? Thank you.
Sarah.
Hi, this is Sarah for the record. I wanted to ask about documenting the composition of the people who go through the process. I had asked a question about where this documentation is kept. If I may give an example of the ICANN fellowship process, you sort of know who the selection committee members are for a particular fellowship round. So not saying this is the best way to do it, but just asking if we will have something similar.
It must be documented so that the potential applicant knows who is going to be looking at it, either by name or by their positions. Where it will be documented is to be decided. We don't do that right now. It's not part of our current rules, so we don't have a place right now. It must be documented somewhere, and it will be documented on a region-by-region basis. Is that okay, Sarah?
I'm still trying to think about it because, well, yeah, I think it's something to think about.
It's part of the information that we provide to prospective applicants. We're going to be describing, as we do right now, what the application process is, what the steps in it are. As part of that, we will have to define with some clarity who is going to be reviewing the application. It may not be by name, because there's privacy issues there also in some cases, but it will generally be by name or by rank, what your positions are. So AP RALO may say that they include their ALAC members in the decision process. AFRALO may do it in a different way. URALO may do it in a different way. But we will have to document that so the prospective applicant knows where the information will be going. Peters. I can't hear you if you're speaking. Peters, if you can hear us, at least put something in the chat to say you can hear us. All right. I'm assuming something is he is not able to speak.
Ellen, Heidi has said yes in the chat.
Well, but we can't hear him speak, and his hand is up. I don't know.
Yeshim, could you look into why he is not able
now
to...
Now he's muted. May we hear from the URALO secretary, please?
Oh, thank you very much. Natalia Filin is speaking. Thank you, Alan. I understand and fully agree your concerns about privacy, but I always think the understanding about new potential ILSs on the earth is very important for us, and I think we can get benefits for us if we have opinions of other ILSs on in the same country, for example, who has knowledge about this new applicant. And after all, I think we do the same with new individuals who are going to join us, and even if informally, we can ask other people opinions. And I think, of course, if we have the help from GS year team now and care about privacy, of course we cannot share the data about new ILSers who want to join us. But I think sometimes we may have some additional information, and I think we cannot restrict ourselves with this opportunity or ability to know more about ILSers, because in our region we can see, I don't know how can I say it, not so really want ILSers on the ground, and big difference in information, in official information, and the reality, if you can understand now. Thank you.
Okay. Let me try to be clear. Are you saying that B is not sufficient, that you want to be able to send it to other people other than the RALO leaders?
Yes, Alan. As I said in the chat, I think we may share the information between RALO's leadership, its extended team, and we may ask about ALAC RALO leaders too, and share the information between these people.
Okay, maybe I'm not understanding something. We're already saying you can share it with ALAC and other people, such as your RALO board. We are saying in B you can share it with your RALO, with your ALS representatives, all of them. Are you
maybe,
saying there are
yes,
others so that you want to be able to share it with also?
Maybe we can discuss this opportunity, because I suggest to understand that official information from the application form and reality may have some differences, and the opinions other reps of our ILSers is maybe more more important for us.
Okay.
Because now we have a lot.
Who is it that you would want to share it with that we have not included already?
Now this information can be just the RALO board.
Pastor Peters.
It's not enough to have a decision. And as I understand now, just GSEA team now involved in this work and can say us the positive or negative view to new applicants. But I think maybe it's enough. Maybe it's not enough for us.
Okay. After it's reformulated, if it's still not enough, we'll ask you to speak again. Peters, please go ahead. I heard you now.
Okay, thank you very much, Ella. First, I want to observe that I sent an email, a comprehensive write-up to this group, and I'm sure you got it. I'm surprised no mention was made of the document since we started this meeting, because I recall the other time when I was trying to elaborate more on my points, you said if I could please put it in writing. So I would appreciate if this could be tabled or mentioned, or members advised to please read through, because some of the positions I have are well documented in this in my document, and if I say I want to take my time to begin to separate them, that would take a lot of time from my 1 hour. So I would please want that to be on record. On this issue we are discussing, I have very serious concern about the definition of extended of extended regional leadership, and then the need for the RALO leadership to also communicate with the ALAC members in the, during the process of due diligence.
Peters, please be clear. Are you saying you they should be able to communicate or should not be able to communicate?
I'm not comfortable with the issue. I mean, can I just finish you, or you get you understand me when I phone? I'm through. Now, the ALAC will be the final body that would recommend the decisions of the RALO to the board for any ALS to be admitted into ICANN. So I do not see the need for the RALO leadership to be communicating with the ALAC members from their region when they will have the opportunity to do their bit at the ALAC meeting once the RALO has recommended any ALS to them. That is one. That is number one. Number two, I also do not understand the need for what is being called the extended regional leadership here. Because if I get the definition of your extended leadership, you're trying to say past RALO leaders. And I do not see why they should be given a role.
Past RALO leaders is not no longer there.
Okay, now when you talk about the extended regional leadership, now who are those that constitute the extended regional leadership?
That is up to the regional, the formally appointed regional leadership. In AFRALO, that would be up to the chair, the vice chairs, the secretariat to decide and document. And they may well be consulting with their ALSs in making that decision.
It's a regional decision. Yeah, now you see, this, the reason why I wouldn't want this body to create confusion within the different RALOs is to begin to put in place rules that can make the leadership of the various RALOs to perform their duties. Now, you never can tell the interest of any RALO leadership. If you talk of RALO leadership, you're talking of just three individuals out of so many members within that RALO. Now, they are at liberty to decide what they want to do for the interest of a majority of thousands of members. So if they can restrict their functions to what is prescribed within the ICANN rules, fine. We try to give them extended powers. They may decide if they like. Where rules are set, loopholes should not be created for those rules that people can play around with. So we may have good intentions in putting this in place, but we do not know the intentions of those who will be at the leadership position at any point in time. So I do not see the need for us to say the RALO may decide. They extend their leadership. You are giving them powers that they do not merit, even from the structure of the ICANN rules. So I, for one, do not support that extension or that condition that they may choose or they may not want it.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who supports the position that RALO should not have the discretion for making the decision as they wish, and it should only be limited to the RALO leadership proper? From my perspective, and I'm giving you my personal position, is a RALO elects its leaders and has to put some trust in it, just like we do in virtually every other political organization in the world. But if a particular RALO chooses not to trust their own leaders and demands that everything be put to a plebiscite, that's the business of that RALO. I don't think it's quite operational, but that is their business.
You see, I wouldn't want
Peters,
to...
Peters, you've had your word. Let other people speak, please.
Hold on. I need to make myself clear, because there are terms you are using that could influence the position of other members in this group. Don't use the word trust. Nobody is talking about trust here. We are talking about rules. So it has something to do with trust. If the RALO do not trust
you,
you're
into your third 2 minutes. I'd like to give other people a chance.
Now, you did not address my first point, Elan. Why was my document not mentioned to this group since the beginning of this meeting?
People read email. I don't have to mention the documents.
It has to be
everyone received it and read it.
No, Aylan, it's an official document.
Those of us who did read it, can we assume we don't need to have it read out?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you're sitting on email. Looking
at
just you, when I was...
You sent a many-page document. We are not going to read it in
the question group. When I was going to speak last week, you said I should put it in writing. So, and I've done that bit, so it is expected of you as a leader of this group to have mentioned that, yes, this has been communicated to you. Has anybody seen it?
Peters.
It's only better of anybody.
It is now mentioned.
Peters.
Yes, ma'am.
I think you're being a little sensitive here. I certainly, and I believe everyone, this is Cheryl for the record, most assuredly, unless they are not reading any of their emails and they are not contributing to the work of this group, have read your missive. I think it is this business of this meeting to finish its work on this document. I don't see that it is mutually exclusive nor compulsory for us to have gone through the minutiae of your very extensive text. Thank you for your text. That's fine. Now, in answer to Alan's question, relating to what you have just gone into detail on, I see this text as an effort to put controls and refine and define specific guardrails or subsidiary rules to those very rules you and your document are referring to as being paramount. So in the case where a RALO has a practice of sharing this material, these words should be acting as control points and guardrails for how and why and to who that material does in fact get distributed and who has or has not got access to it in the short, the medium and the long term. So all of this work we're doing is complementary, not critical, to what I believe, and I did read your document, including the highly inflammatory text within it, asking for. There's the answer to your question, Alan.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, for your intervention. We are past the end of the hour. I will allow the people whose hands are up to speak, and then we will adjourn, and hopefully next week we'll have a more productive meeting. Natalia, please go ahead. Natalia, we cannot hear you. You're muted.
Sorry, it was all done with my hand.
Thank
up.
You. Amitra, please go ahead. I'm
thank you, Alan. I agree with what Cheryl has said. And RALO leadership has to have some discretionary power to take a decision. However, if someone does not have some issues with that decision, later they can ask for clarification, but that doesn't mean we should not give them the authority to take a particular decision. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think we can overrule the leadership and how they make the decisions. It's up to their own RALO. If a RALO elects leaders and they find the leadership is not doing what they think is reasonable, most RALOs have a way of removing their leaders should they choose, or certainly not re-electing them. All right. There have been a number of things in the chat which we have not read out. Some of them are substantive. I suggest when the chat is published, you go back and read it. It may be worth your while. We didn't get very far today. I hope we will get farther next week. I will try to reword this document, this section, to be clearer in the intent. I thank you all for your time, and I see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, all.
Thanks, all. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
All, this meeting is now adjourned. Have a great rest of the day. Bye-bye.